Good morning, and welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning. Grant wisdom to those who govern it and respect for human life and dignity to every citizen so that justice may flourish and all people live in unity and peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
And how I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the street, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. And there will be a day when all bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Kevin DeWoolley, and I have the privilege of being your host this morning. Thank you, worship team. That was a beautiful set, and I think to a couple of really neat reminders in there is just, our God, the Ancient of Days, who's been around forever and will be. And also, like, the first song just struck me too, because, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour, right? And I certainly do myself. So usually I get myself into troubles when I start thinking I don't need God, and I kind of just cruise along, right? And so as a good reminder, thank you, worship team. As we've gathered here for worship, the children have an opportunity to continue to worship God as well as they gather in Little Lights downstairs. So Little Lights are ages 3 to 5, and they'll continue to worship downstairs. But kids, before you go downstairs, I want to pray a blessing over you. We want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders. So if you are serving in Little Lights this morning, please come down. Parents, you can bring your children downstairs, or you can let our leaders help them downstairs after our prayer. Kids Church, grades 1 to 5, will be joining us in the service for the summer, including today. So we have activity packs available for you, Kids Church kids, in the little chests that are on the side there. I saw it from up there, but I can't see from here. I think it's over there. There. So you can grab those in a few minutes when we do our 3-minute fellowship time. All right, Little Lights, come on down. All right, church. Let's please extend a hand over these children and let's pray over them. Dear Father in heaven, I just thank you for these kids that you've brought into our community here. We know they are so valuable to you and to us. Please bless them as they go downstairs to continue the worship of you. Please bless the leaders and volunteers that are going to speak into their lives as well. Pray that we just bless the time that they have here this morning and watch over them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so Little Lights, you can exit out the door to my left. All right, good morning again on this Canada Day. I think even, despite maybe the faults of our country, past and present, I certainly feel blessed to be part, and we are blessed to be part of this country. When we look at all the oppression around the world, the fact that we can gather here today and worship our Savior. So very thankful for that as we celebrate Canada Day this weekend. We're happy that you can join us today. So whether you've been here, this is your first time, or you've been here a couple of times, if you want to learn more about New Life, we just ask you to fill out a Connect card that's in front of the pews there, in front of the seat pocket in front of you, and just bring them to the info booth that's in the lobby afterwards, and then in exchange we'll give you a New Life tote bag with a couple of goodies in there. And if you're online this morning, just comment where you are. And who you're watching with. That'd be great. So really just have one announcement this morning, and that is about our summer outreach program, Superhero Park Days. Maybe I should do a stance or something. Superhero Park Day. That's happening at Del Air Park. So even I'll slow this part down so you can maybe, if you want, you can put out your phones and you can put the dates in your phones while I'm talking here. July 10th to the 13th, so that's coming fast. And August 8th to 11th, 4 days each of those weeks. And it starts at 9:30 in the morning until noon. I know my kids, my family has volunteered and helped out in the past with that, and it's a blessing to go out in the community. And so we're looking for that as well. Like if you can volunteer, that would be great to help out. So I think, well, okay, well, I'm gonna get my kids, well, I'm not sure if I can or whatnot. You know, this could be an opportunity too. If you're retired or semi-retired, and you think, boy, I'd like a morning to myself. If your spouse is not really paying attention right now, this is the opportunity. You can sign them up and send them out, right, to do that. No judgment. It's okay. Because either way, I guarantee if you come out and volunteer, it's going to be a blessing in there. I'm joking, sort of. No, seriously. But one of the things we want to do as a church community as well, right, is to go out into our community. We want to make a difference. We want to make an impact in Abbotsford, right? And this is just one way that we can do that, right? Do people in our community notice that New Life exists? Right? It's a good question for us. So here's a chance that we can do that, and it's going to be an amazing time, a great experience. We've heard stories in the past about how people have been impacted and people have been drawn into our church as well as a result of this. Now, it's in Del Air Park, down the road. It's not only for the Del Air community, so anybody can come. You know, invite your neighbors. I think there's going to be some pamphlets in the lobby as well that you can grab and share with your neighbors and invite them to come, you know, as well. In there. All right. So now it's time for our fellowship time and offering. We worship God with our offering today for New Life Ministries. You can give electronically. There's many different ways. Or you can bring it to one of our offering boxes that are at the front during our fellowship time. There's one on my left and one on my right in there. And for New Life, to support the New Life Ministries, including such things as our summer outreach program here at Del Air Park this summer. Boy, I'm really stumbling over my words this morning. All right. So let's pray a blessing over the offering. Dear Father, just pray for, ask for your blessing on this offering to support the various ministries here at New Life this morning, including the summer outreach program that we have at Del Air Park this summer. That can just touch many lives in our community in Abbotsford. That as a church here, we can make a difference, that we can show and share the gospel to communities just outside of our own church community. And so we ask for your blessing on that as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you wanted to volunteer, just reach out to the office or sign up for it. Reach out to the office at New Life here, or you can contact Shayla or Lexi, who are our summer interns who are organizing the summer outreach program. So every service we have our 3-minute fellowship time, which we will take part in now. We encourage you to meet someone new, shake someone's hand. You can bring your offering down if you like. Kids grades 1 to 5, you can come pick up the activity pack for the rest of the service. And if you need an icebreaker question, maybe ask your neighbor if they have a special Canada Day tradition. Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. Let's return to our seats. Fellowship time is great. Connect with each other, share your summer holiday plans. What great things you did during Canada Day. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'll lead you through the rest of the service this morning. And hopefully you had a great Canada Day. How many of you attended the parade yesterday? See a bunch of hands? That's great. I did. With Sharon and the kids, and we had a good time. It's kind of quirky good, you know what I mean? Like you're always sort of thinking, oh, who's coming next? And it's never what you think. It's always interesting. So I had a good time doing that. I'd be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge that today is my wife's birthday. Sharon, yes. 39 years old. She's beautiful as ever. My partner, my love, I am grateful to have her in my life. So let's pray as we open God's Word together. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Canada Day. Thank you for the freedoms that we get to experience. Thank you for the freedom just to speak your word, to preach the gospel. What a privilege that is. And would you apply it to our hearts this morning? Would you speak to us? We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, I want to start this morning by reading the text that we're going to kind of focus on this morning. It comes from the book of Acts. And if you just put that up there for me, we're going to read it. I'll read it for you. You can read it with me. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So, an incredible, incredible story, right? The context is that Peter is traveling to various churches. He's giving leadership. He's trying to raise up this fledgling church. He's healing the sick, and he gets to this place called Joppa, and then this amazing miracle takes place. The raising of Dorcas. Now, I have subtitled this message this morning, "How to Be a Real Dorcas." How to be a real Dorcas. Of course, many of you this morning are thinking, "I don't want to be a Dorcas." But you actually do. You actually do. Just stick with me and you'll see that being a real Dorcas is a good thing. It's a good thing. Of course, it's hard to imagine someone being named Dorcas nowadays, although there have been some epic fails over the years when it comes to parents naming their children. And let me give you just a few examples. For example, this gal, last name Hogg, and her parents named her Ima. Ima Hogg. She's actually quite an attractive gal, don't you think? But Ima Hogg, that didn't work out great for her, I'm fairly confident. How about this next one, right? This guy decided he wanted to go into politics. Can you just imagine the meeting with the publicity guy? It's like, okay, we have to address the name thing. He's going, what's wrong with the name? Well, okay, I guess we'll just go for it then, right? By the way, in case you're wondering, he lost. Okay? Because that's what losers do, right? Then there's this guy, right? Jedi Knight. Yeah, that's funny for the first couple times, right? The first few days. Jedi Knight. He's in therapy. How about this next one? Bud Light, right? Yeah, good old boy. What's your name, son? Bud Light. Yeah, that's really funny. What's your real name? Bud Light. Oh. That couldn't have gone good. Now, this guy, I really feel sorry for you. His first name is Mo, but his last name is Lester. Can you imagine how this went at the restaurant? Molester. Party of one. Molester. Not good. So Epic fails in terms of naming people. Maybe Dorcas wasn't the only one. Actually, in her language, her name is quite beautiful. Another version of it, as you see it in the text, is Tabitha, which is still a name that we use today. And the translation of Tabitha is gazelle, which isn't too bad either, right? Kind of a beautiful, elegant creature. The truth is, however, it's not her name that we remember. It's who she was. Luke, who is the ultimate gospel historian, so to speak, the New Testament historian, tells us that Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor. Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, if you read the text, if you read the story that I just read for you, then one of the things that you can get caught up in is the miracle, right? Is the fact that Peter goes and sends all of the other gals out of the room and prays over Tabitha, and she comes back to life, and it's a miracle. It's an amazing miracle. But listen, I don't want to sound harsh this morning, but Dorcas died again. She died again. She didn't go on living. She's not living today. Peter calls her back from the dead, and she lived for a little while more, and then she died again, and she stayed dead. Now, why do I say that? Well, because in this passage, what we're tempted to focus on is the miracle of Dorcas being raised from the dead, rather than the miracle of what Dorcas did while she was alive. The miracle of Dorcas' life. The fact that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Are you with me? Can I tell you this? I think it's a bigger miracle that someone lives the kind of life that Dorcas lived, that is, when it comes to touching the lives of so many people through her everyday servanthood, I think that's probably a bigger miracle than getting raised from the dead. Here's the thing. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, then one day you will be raised. This is the great hope of the gospel, right? That one day, if we know and love the Lord, that Jesus will call you back to life. He will call you back from the grave, and you will have a life that will go on forever. The truth is, if you believe in Jesus, then resurrection lies in front of every one of us. The miracle of Dorcas lies in front of every one of us. So, really, what is important? It's important the way we live in getting from here to there. It's the kind of person that we become along the way. See, part of what God is saying in this this miracle in this life that Dorcas lives is, now here's a life worth raising. Here's the kind of person that I'm inviting you to become as you journey through life, so filled with love and mercy that when you're gone, you leave a huge hole in the hearts of the people you leave behind, because like Dorcas, you were always doing good and helping the poor. Now, I want to reflect on three ways in which Dorcas can inspire us this morning. Now, I understand that we're at the end of a ministry year, and this is the time of the year in which we kind of think about summer and taking a break, and ministry's kind of shut down. But can I challenge you this morning to spend some time over the summer thinking about the kind of person that you want to become in the coming year? Because September will be here before too long. What is the kind of life that you want to begin to live? What is the kind of servanthood that you want to give yourself to? And maybe that just involves even volunteering this summer as we were hearing about. What is the kind of life that you want to live from here to there? What is the kind of tombstone, it's kind of a morbid thought, but do you want to leave? Dorcas left this tombstone that said she was always doing good and helping the poor. Well, let me give you three things to think about this morning to inspire you, that Dorcas's ministry might inspire you with. The first is that she served consistently. She served consistently. I was with a pastor friend a while back, and he said to me, "You know, I just get tired of caring. I get tired of keeping on. And I get it. There's days in which I feel that way. I mean, sometimes ministry is a grind. Serving and loving people is a grind. Sometimes putting up with the foibles of people that God has called you to serve is a grind. And you're tempted to think, that's it. I'm done. I need a break. But listen, the best ministry is ministry that is done consistently. Maybe you're familiar with a former president by the name of Jimmy Carter, president of the United States. He's dying. He's been diagnosed with cancer spots on the brain, and it appears that he doesn't have too much longer to live. "I'll have to slow down my schedule a bit," he admitted, right? In case you don't know, Jimmy Carter is a committed Christian, and he loves the Lord. What's more, he wears his faith with a kind of humility and with a kind of beauty that is so wonderful. One secular reporter put it like this in an article. I thought this was really poignant. Carter presented, now again, this is a secular reporter now. Carter presented an image of faith we don't see nearly as often as we should, which is sad because it also the image truest to what faith is supposed to be. Not a magic lamp you rub in hopes of a private jet, not a license for our worst impulses, but rather an act of surrender to a force greater than self. A way of being centered enough to tell whatever bleak thing comes your way, so be it, even fearsome as death itself, so be it. What a witness. What a witness. And here's the thing that he said he wants to keep on doing until he can't do it anymore, cancer or no cancer. You want to know what it is? He wants to keep on teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning at the Baptist church that he attends in Plains, Georgia. He's been doing it. He's been doing it for as long as he quit being president of the United States, consistently, year after year. Maybe, just maybe, when he dies, that might be his greatest legacy. Last week, 700 people attended his Sunday school class. Just something for our Sunday school teachers here to kind of like shoot towards, right? Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor, always. Her being good, her helping was not dependent on how she felt, right? Can I ask you, are you serving consistently? Here's the thing. I think all of us want to do good. There's something innate about the human soul. We want to do good. And if you know and love the Lord, then that aspect of our, you know, the image of God in us grows and becomes even more significant. But often we want to do it on our own schedule, and we'll keep on doing it as long as we like doing it, or as long as we get that little buzz that when we're doing something good, we say to ourselves, "Oh, I'm doing good," right? C.S. Lewis used to say, you know, he said, "I remember praying for humility, and my next thought was, how humble I am praying for humility." Right? It's kind of like that when it comes to serving, right? It's when we're serving, we're like, "Oh, look at me, I'm like serving. I'm a wonderful person," right? But that buzz, I mean, if you're going to serve consistently, that'll wear off. What then? Are you willing to continue to enter the fray of ministry even when you don't want to? Even when you don't feel like it? Because here's the truth. Love is a decision. Love is a decision. It's not a feeling. You have to choose to love someone. Loving someone, really loving someone, takes time. It takes consistency. My mom died recently. She had advanced dementia over the last 8 years of her life. And she lay in a hospital bed, incoherent. After a while, it was difficult to visit her because there was no conversation, there was no interaction, really. But my dad committed to visiting her every day. Every day. And he did. Every day. We even said, "Dad, you know, just take a break, or maybe you need a holiday or something." He said, No, I'm going to visit my mom, or visit my wife. Now, Dad is no perfect person, believe me. But he visited her every day. And I think about that in terms of not just one season of ministry, but 8 years of going to the same hospital bed and not even really being able to have a complete conversation with someone. Where is God calling you to love someone consistently in this coming year? Some of you teachers, you're finished with school, and you're so glad it's over, right? You're singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year," right? But you know, September's coming, right? And some of those same challenging kids that haunt your nightmares, they're going to be back, right? They'll be back. They'll be waiting for you. Are you going to love them again? As challenging as that is. Some of you have aging parents, and they're not so easy to love. It seems like they get crankier as the years pass on. Are you going to love them? Or how about just loving one of your tough children consistently, right? Always doing good for them. I'm not talking about letting them run over you. You shouldn't. But some kids take more consistent love and patience than other kids, if you know what I mean. You know, one of the interesting things that Dorcas did for people, as we read the passage, is that she made clothing for them. In fact, this is what all the widows who talked to Peter bemoaned about losing her most. If you know anything about knitting or hemming or weaving or sewing, you know it takes time, right? It's a time-intensive industry. And you know that as you knit and sew something for someone, you are constantly thinking about the person who will receive what you are making. Can you see Dorcas there? Praying for the people of her church, crafting useful blankets, knitting warm socks, weaving beautiful sweaters, and coming to people and saying, I prayed for you the whole time that I was making this. Love is a decision. Love takes time. It takes consistency. But secondly, it also takes a certain kind of practicality. We live in a culture that talks about love all the time. Tune into any radio station, pick up any book at the bookstore, Google love on 1,000 search engines, and you will find a plethora of information about love. 13 ways to make your spouse go, ah, right? Get love without loving too much. Be the spark that lights the 1,000 love fires. Wow, I'm inspiring myself here. But can I say this? Most of it's crap. I mean, it's not a nice word, but it's true. Several years back, I married a couple named Tegan and Kyle. Now, I was with them several times because I always do counseling before a couple gets married. And they were so over the top in love that it was kind of sickening. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. Like, honey, well, what do you want to do? Oh, no, listen. What do you want to do? No, sweetie, let's just do what you want to do. It was crazy town. Don't worry, it's nothing that a few years of marriage won't knock out of them. They'll get with the program. But here's what I talked to them about when they got married. They wanted me to preach on 1 Corinthians 13, right? Which probably many of you are familiar with. Beautiful passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do you know what I told them when I married them? I told them, you know, these verses are anything but syrupy. They may sound that way, but they're anything but flowery. These verses are, I mean, listen, try love is patient. Oh my. There's a very practical instruction, you know. This woman, this man that you are marrying, they will test your patience. Have you noticed this, married folks? Right? I remember the young pastor who forgot what he was going to pray for the marriage prayer. And so he ended up praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This person is going to hurt you. They are going to disappoint you. They are going to fail you. But can you love them still? Can you be patient with their feelings? Can you be patient with their failings? Not syrupy. That's tough love, right? Love is not easily angered, right? Your spouse, any done anything lately that angered you, right? But you had to let it go, right? There's a discipline that we learn when we try to put 1 Corinthians 13 into action, right? There's a practicality to it that goes beyond the Hallmark card. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How hard is that? For those of you who are married today, how easy it is to keep a significant list of wrongs, right? That you can pull out of your back pocket when you need it. I remember once, I've shared this story before here, but getting a photo radar ticket, and I thought to myself, oh no, because I had gotten a lot of photo radar tickets for some reason. I thought it was an inequity in the law, but I got a lot. And Sharon said, you just do not get another photo radar ticket. This is enough. Like, we're paying way too much money on these photo radar tickets. So I got this photo radar ticket, and I started to look at it more closely. And I said, wait a minute. I wasn't there at that time. And then slowly and beautifully began to dawn on me. This was not my photo radar ticket. But this was Sharon's favorite photo radar ticket. I thought to myself, yes, Eureka, I have it. I now have something over on her for a while, right? But we're like that, right? We want leverage. Can you love someone in that context? Think about Dorcas. She practiced this kind of love. The text talks about a bunch of widows who were crying because of the loss of Dorcas. I'm guessing when Dorcas got raised from the dead, she was very thankful and happy to be back with everybody, but she also thought to herself, oh my, I'm going to have to deal with Alice. I thought I was past that now. That woman is such a trial. Practical love is getting out of bed to help someone, even when you don't want to, when you'd rather sleep in. Practical love is visiting someone in the hospital, even though you've had a long day. Practical love is doubling the meal that you've prepared so you can give half to a family that you know is struggling or in need. Practical love is mowing someone's lawn, not just once, but for 3 years. Practical love is stocking the shelves of the food bank or remembering to pick something up when you're at the grocery store. Practical love is forgiving again, even when you don't want to. Loving again, even when you don't want to. Opening your heart again, even when you don't want to. And listen, most of the time, this kind of serving will go unnoticed. It's not glamorous. Like Dorcas, no one's going to notice what you're doing until you're not doing it anymore. Loving kids, raising funds for various ministries, helping with worship, leading a small group, it's all going to be quite practical and quite unnoticed. But make no mistake, God sees it, and it matters. It really matters. God loves it. A few weeks back, we had this volunteer appreciation night here at New Life, and it was wonderful. Just celebrating all the different ways that people serve around here, from making coffee in the morning to nursery, to youth and children's ministry, to worship, to other ministries that are going on. And I just want to say, it was so impressive to be there and to see the practical ways in which so many of you serve. And just from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And keep on serving. Keep on serving. It matters. It matters. It makes a difference. Really does. All right, final way in which the life of Dorcas can inspire us, and that is to serve joyfully. Serve joyfully. Dorcas was loved. There's no doubt about it. Well, you know why, right? Because she was a light. She was a light in the darkness. She was a little center of joy and happiness in the church in Joppa that was facing so many challenges. No one mourns, at least deeply, as these women in Joppa were mourning for someone who's a bitter, cranky old woman. No, if you were to visit Dorcas, you were lifted up. Dorcas remembered your birthdays and your grandchildren's birthdays. Dorcas's home was a place of hospitality. Dorcas was someone that you could confide in, and you never worried about her breaking your confidence. Dorcas is the person that you came to when you needed a prayer. And how she radiated joy. Do you know someone like this? A Dorcas in your life? I've pastored a lot of people in my life over the years, 25 to 30 years of ministry, and I can tell you I've met several Dorcases along the way, but as I was writing this message, I thought about Tina Venema. Do you remember her? I love Tina. And if you want to feel good about life and following Jesus, all you needed to do was to talk to Tina for a little while. She was all joy. She was pure love. I think she actually liked every sermon I preached for which I would have to question her judgment. But she was joyful, and of course, like Dorcas, she's gone to be with the Lord. But she's probably encouraging an angel right now as we speak, right? No, I love your wings. They're small, but they're beautiful, right? But now let the message turn. Because Tina would tell you, and Dorcas would tell you, it's not about her. It's not about them, not at all. It's all about Jesus, the one who taught her how to love. Ask Tina, ask Dorcas about Jesus. And their eyes would light up. They couldn't stop talking about his great love, a love that would lay down his life for them, his life for their life, to give them life. Dorcas would take your hand if she was here this morning, and she would say, he's done so much for me. He's been so good to me. So New Life, serve consistently. Serve practically. And you will discover a joy that surpasses all understanding. I want to invite the worship team to come back up right now. And this next song is a prayer. It really is. And so I want to invite you to stand, and I want to invite you to sing it as a prayer, as an invitation for God to teach you the kind of love that we've been speaking about this morning. And let's do that now. You stand.
When they look in
take our hearts, our sin-sick hearts this morning that spend so much time thinking about me, myself, and I. And that you would teach us again this love that is so strongly witnessed in the life of Jesus and in the life of those who would follow them like Dorcas with all their hearts. Love that sees the brokenhearted. A love that sees the one that's left out. A one that sees the disenfranchised, the lonely, those that are struggling, Lord. Would you empower us to see them and then to move towards them in love, in compassion and grace? Because we know that as we do that, when we go there, you'll fill our cup too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
It's so little my life tells who you are. And the wonder of your never-ending love. So little my life tells who you are. Too wonderful, and such a good father. So let my life tell who you are, and the wonder of your never-ending love. So let my life tell who you are. So wonderful.
Together. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may he make you a channel of his peace. And all God's children said, amen.
Praise God from whom.
In peace.